that you are you told a number of people actually at that talk were the troubles of Ireland. You know, that you had what you considered to be a very cross community childhood, the shank of Kashmir Street.
That's right.
The interesting, I think, the contrast for you was that your husband didn't really grow up with any Catholic friends at all.
That's right. He grew up near his grandmother lived on the opposite side of the Shankill, up Aggie Street, Bristol Street. And Eddie would have spent, his mum and dad worked, so Eddie would have spent his days after school with his granny. So that's where he got up as his, you know, his playground as such when he was growing up. And we lived on the other side, lived in Sugarfield Street. And if you walked down Sugarfield Street and crossed Cooper Street, it took you straight into the Kashmir Road. And that was our playground. So, and there was also a place where, as children, we would have all assembled, Catholic children and Protestant children. We called it the Meadow, but it was the old off-run of the Mills of Otter. You know, the God knows what's in it. It's a dreadful thing. But it was sort of what ran out of the, you know, the waste from the mill ran out into it. And it was just a real dirty old river with bricks and bits of brush heads lying in it, and just and there was two sort of slopes. There was two like mucky banks that, you know, ran down to it. And of course, that's where we all spent all of our time. Wet days, dry days, didn't matter. You know, the meadow. It was as far removed from a meadow. You know, your mind's eye, the picture, when you say the word meadow, you sort of have this very beautiful. It wasn't a beautiful place, but we loved it. We absolutely loved it. So the Catholic children from the area would have been there with the Protestant children. So we'd have all been playing together anyway. But like, I remember going up the Kashmir Road to call for people, you know, to call, rap their doors. And I also remember swinging in the Clonard Gates, waiting on people coming out of Mass, you know, because they would have, you had a call for them, they were at Mass, and we just went down and played outside the chapel, waiting on them coming out.
And why was it different for your husband?
He didn't know any Catholics.
It was just the lay of the land
sort of thing, you know.
Did he grow up far from you?
No, well, Agnes Street would be 5 minutes walk from our house.
But that was enough.
And Agnes Street runs from the Shankill up to the Crumlin Road, you know. And it must have been just a highly densely Protestant area.
Yes.
Because Eddie didn't meet a Catholic person, he says, till he went to work. You know, he actually had never played with a Catholic or never, you know. And he wouldn't have been brought up, it wouldn't have been like a loyalist type of household, He was brought up, and even though his daddy was a countryman, and quite often people from the country were quite staunch in their beliefs, you know, one way or the other. But Eddie wouldn't have, you know, he wouldn't have had that type of a dyed-in-the-wool Protestant type of upbringing, like, anyway. But he just had never played with Catholic children. You know, it wasn't part of his childhood.
Just the way it was. Just to go off on a completely different tack altogether, if you don't mind. It's like creating a pause in there. This is a different story now. A completely different story. I don't know if you remember this or not, but you told a story about a woman helping basically helping getting home by getting through the house beside Forspring.
Yes, I do. That was Sandra. I remember when I haven't seen Sandra in years. Sandra worked in the hospital. And when the gates went up at the bottom of Workman's Avenue, they were closed. I think they closed at sort of supper time, you know. And talking to me one day and saying about to get home, she had to go away into town.
Alright.
Because the gates were closed. So she lived around the corner there, around in Kew and Parade, at the bottom of Wakefield Avenue, maybe. And if the gates were, if she was on, it would have been a late shift, or if she had to work in.
She was working in the Royal then?
Working in the Royal. When she got up to the gates here, they would have been closed. She never knew if they were going to be closed or not. So she just always had to assume they were going to be closed. And she had to get the bus down into town and then get a bus up the Shankill Road. So it put an hour on her working day, really, you know, where when she was able to go through the gate here, she could have walked up, you know, 10 minutes, walked her up the road here. And I have to say to her that I knew Paddy and May, who lived in the house there, you know. Paddy and May lived in the house beside Forest Spring. And I took her around one night and introduced her to them. And their front door was in the Springfield Road, but the back of their house was on the other side of the Peace Line. So they had an entrance that took you out onto Workman Avenue. So they said, "Sandra, certainly no problem." So she used to walk up and rap, if the gate was locked, rap Paddy and May's door. And they took her through the house and out the back door and out into Workman Avenue. It's amazing, like, you know. But it's a bit like Forest Spring Self, you know, the front of it's on one side of the Peace Line and the back of it's on the other side of it. It actually literally straddles the Peace Line now.
Told me a very, very tragic event. It must be an early, one of the earliest killings of the Troubles, but it was the three soldiers who were killed. Mm-hmm. And it seems so odd to you because I think you heard the news. You were laughing because you were watching Ronan.
Yeah, Ronan. It must have been a Sunday night. And Ronan Martin's laughing. It was a big, big.
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
There was nothing to compare to it here. And I can remember that particular night. My Aunt Muriel was there, the lady returned, but she would probably just have maybe moved down. Do you know what year that was, that happened?
I think it might have been as early as 71 or 72.
Yes. For Muriel, it's
kind of when the IRA campaign first got started.
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
But our house was actually quite full. Eddie's granny was there and my Aunt Muriel, and I'm assuming his mummy and daddy were maybe there too. But I can remember we had the light out. People used to switch the light off to watch television, you know.
Right.
In the old days. And I remember us all sitting. We had quite a big television.
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
19 was sort of the standard then, you know. And I don't know if that's why they were over, if they were just over business. No idea. But we were watching Ronan Martin's laughing. And on that particular night, there's an actor. He used to act with Sophia Loren films. I think it was Mastro Mastorani or something you call him. I'm not sure if that's the right name, something like that. Very dark, curly-haired Italian, you know. And
this is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
But he was on this show, and Goldie Hawn used to be on it too. But he had been very good and very interesting in the show and that. But at the end of laughing, there was always some really silly, funny thing happened. They always had a really silly thing that closed the show. And to say, there's this heartthrob actor, as he was.
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
And somebody reached out and pulled his wig off, and he was balding. And it was a bit of a shock, but it was hilarious. And we were all sitting, doubled up, laughing while the credits were running. And they interrupted the end of the programme to make the announcement. I think there had been three soldiers killed. And I remember having to tell me that
this is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
And they were sort of telling me to shut up, do we hear this, you know. And they, like, sort of being caught up in this laughter and find it hard just to stop laughing. And that's what it was, three soldiers. And it was a strange sensation going from being doubled up and two laughing, something to hear in the horrific news. And two of them are brothers.
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
You know, so I can remember that as clearly, like it was yesterday. I can It must, what's over 40 years ago, is it?
It is over 40 years, I imagine, yeah.
But it was just that very strange thing of going from hilarious laughter. It wasn't just a giggle, it was like hilarious laughter. And this is the book, you know, that was quite a common thing when the credits were running. We interrupt this program to, you know, sometimes it's to call key holders.
This is a demonstration of flip for Mac.
Or something fine, and,
yeah, I can remember that.
You know, that it was quite a common thing for programs to be interrupted. But I remember that very clearly. And how sad it was, you know, that. And we're very young men. Very young fellas, like. It's surprising how clear a memory it still is. Yeah. More than half of my life ago, like, you know.